As wonderful as our choir is, I was really disappointed that Angela wasn't able to get Joan Baez or the band to sing the song of the sermon title. And if you don't know who Joan Baez or the band is, then you weren't lucky enough to grow up in the golden age of rock and roll. And I pity you. Luke, the 19th chapter, begins this way. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who wanted to see who Jesus was. But he couldn't on account of the crowd because he was small of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree, for he knew that Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down." He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, because I am going to spend the day in your house." So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, "He goes in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, I give half of what I own to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will repay it fourfold." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, for this man too is a son of Abraham. And the Son of Man comes to seek and to save the lost." My life changed forever on a warm September night in 1970 in Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, you young people up in their balcony probably can't understand this, but I grew up in a strictly segregated society. I went to all-white schools. I went to all-white churches. I played on all-white ball teams. But that began to change on that September night in Legion Field in 1970. Bear Bryant, the legendary Alabama coach, had wanted to recruit black athletes, but the racist board of trustees at the University of Alabama wouldn't let him. So he did the next best thing. He invited the University of Southern Cal to come play Alabama in Legion Field. And Southern Cal featured two running backs. One of them was a fleet halfback who grew up in the shadows of Legion Field. And he ran around Alabama all night long. But the other young man ran slap dab over him. And his name was Sam Bam Cunningham. And at the end, Southern Cal humiliated Alabama by 3 touchdowns. And Jerry Claiborne, then an Alabama assistant, put the matter in perfect perspective. He said, "Sam Bam Cunningham did more to desegregate Southern schools in 30 minutes than the federal judges did in 30 years. Even as a teenager, I understood the significance of that night. Because that night was a clash of two values. The culture in which I grew up valued racial segregation, valued racial discrimination. But they also valued football supremacy. And in that night, they realized one of those values had to go. It was the night they drove Old Dixie down. Because by the next year, the Board of Trustees had given Bear Bryant the freedom to recruit black athletes. And if Bear could do it, you better believe all the other Southern schools could do it as well. Segregation was important to people, but football. football supremacy was more important. And when it came down to seeing what really mattered, they surrendered the one so they could maintain the other. Now, what does Sam Bam Cunningham and Legion Field and Bear Bryant have to do with the Jewish tax collector sitting up in a sycamore tree? There is a connection, but we're not there yet. The truth is, virtually none of us see what is really important in our lives, in our priorities. I'll never forget a counseling session with a couple whose marriage was deeply troubled. And I asked the husband, why are you so uncomfortable with your wife? He said, well, I expect when I come home that she has a hot meal ready, and sometimes she doesn't. I expect when I come home that the house is perfectly clean and orderly, and sometimes it isn't. I expect her to entertain my clients in such a way that I can advance professionally, and sometimes she doesn't want to. I said, sir, has it occurred to you that you have put your expectations of your wife ahead of your relationship with your wife? Do you not see what is really important? The truth is, much of the time we don't. Even couples can put their children and their jobs and their social climbing and their public accolades ahead of what really matters. I say to people in counseling all the time, recognize, except for your faith, nothing can be more important to your relationship than your relationship. And all of the other stuff we throw in there should flow out of our basic relationship. It should not precede it. But how often people emanate the attitude, if you can't give me what I want, I can't love you. They do not see what is really important, that the relationship to their lover comes first. I think of a seminary professor that I knew, brilliant man. And he wrote an essay entitled, How Immortality Almost Killed Me. How Immortality Almost Killed Me. He was determined to write a book so brilliant, so elegant and elevated in thought that it would distinguish him from the masses, and that book would be treasured long after he was gone. He would enjoy immortality. But the more he worked on that book, he worked and reworked, he thought and rethought, he wrote and rewrote, and all that came out of all that effort was depression, frustration, and weariness. And finally, he said, all right, death, you win. I will die. No one will remember me. And you know what? That's okay. He realized that he, a seminary professor, dedicated to the service of Christ, had put his hopes on immortality based on his own elevated achievement, when in fact his immortality was secured by the ministry of Jesus Christ. He had become so fixated on his goal, he had lost sight of what was really important. That his immortality was not based on his achievement, it was based on the trustworthiness of his Lord. And when he surrendered that false image of himself as the unparalleled professor, he found such peace and fulfillment. He knew what was really important in his life. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to grab us by the lapels and say,
do you really see what matters in your life? Do you really see what is important? That husband thought he knew what was important, but he had no idea. That professor thought he knew what was important, but he had no idea. Both of them had fashioned their lives around false images that yielded them no peace. Some years ago, I was going to write a great sermon on the meaning of life. And I went to this big book, this periodical that listed all of the articles on a host of spiritual topics. And so I flipped over to meaning of life, and it said, see life. See life. And I thought, that's the most profound advice I have ever received. You want to understand the meaning of life? See life. A great preacher named Carlisle Marnie wrote an essay about three people he had encountered in his life. One of them was a highly placed denominational executive who saw himself as a spiritual CEO. But after bureaucratic downsizing, he lost his job and he lost his very self-image. And Marnie suggested that he take a small pastorate. And he did. And he found more fulfillment in pastoring that small church than he ever had as a denominational executive. He saw what was really important. There was a very prominent pastor, Baptist pastor, who had risen to prominence because of his very clear racial segregationist views. But his conscience, Marshall, I need you to sit down, please. Okay. All right, sit down, please. This pastor had risen to prominence, but his conscience struck him that he could no longer advocate those racist views. And when he repudiated them, he lost his pastorate. He lost his prominence. He even lost his house. But he moved to another city, formed an unlikely friendship with a black entrepreneur, and they started a laundry business together. And there he found more fulfillment in that job than ever he had in his prior calling. Young chemical engineer, rising steadily through the ranks of the corporate acclaim. Moving constantly, new authority, new job, bigger salary, but moving, never any permanence. And finally, he looked at himself in the mirror and said, why are you so unhappy? Because the false gods he had been chasing had not brought him any satisfaction. So he resigned from that prestigious firm, took a job with a lesser firm, and found permanence and meaning and purpose and joy. You and I often fashion our lives around images that we think will bring us fulfillment. But how often do we really see what really matters? Now, only now, can we come and understand that tax collector up in the sycamore tree. He has thought, if I just have enough money, if I just have enough power, if I just have enough prestige, I will have fulfillment. And so he collaborates with the Romans as a way of gaining power. He defrauds his neighbor as a way of gaining wealth. Selfishness, deviousness, covetousness. All of those things, expediency, those were his tools to gain what he was looking for. And he achieved. His tools worked. But having achieved everything he thought was important, he knew that none of it satisfied.
And so he climbed up in a tree so he could see someone who could clarify for him what really mattered. And when Jesus entered his home, he stood and said, "Lord, if I have defrauded anyone, I'll restore it fourfold. I'll give half of what I own to the poor." Because encountering you and your teaching and your kingdom and your grace, I now know what really matters. And everything I have sought for has been a false god. I've been talking around a word this morning, a word that you all know, a word that's basic to our Christian faith and practice. And that word is stewardship. Yeah, stewardship. Stewardship really is about what really matters to us. What presents us with the true image of who we're meant to be and how we're meant to be invested. Stewardship. I began with a football image, I'll end with one. Some years ago, the leading members of the Minnesota Vikings decided it'd be a really cool thing to take take snowmobiles into the Minnesota backcountry. And it was a really cool thing, turned into a really cold thing. And a blizzard snowed them all in. Now, these were men who were at the height of their physical powers, well-trained, physically strong. And they had all signed big contracts, so they had fat wallets. But when that blizzard hit them, they realized none of that mattered. And when rescuers finally got to them, they found those Minnesota Vikings were peeling 20s out of their wallet and throwing it into their puny fire, trying to keep them alive. And they didn't count how many 20s they put in, and they didn't care. Because they realized in that dark moment what was really important. See life. Stewardship. Stewardship is not the number you put on a pledge card. Stewardship is what clarifies for you what really organizes and purifies your being. What organization clarifies for you what really matters? What commitment clarifies for you what's really important? What commitment helps you understand what are false gods and what Christ really values? Stewardship is not a number on a card. Stewardship is how we orient our entire being around the commitment that means the most. Jesus said to his critics, "It's because you say, 'Oh, we see,' that you're blind. It's only when you say, 'I am in need of grace and understanding,' that you can receive it." That little tax collector up in the tree understood that. And we can learn from his example. May we pray together. But we often really don't understand what's crucial. We don't often understand what really matters. Our lives are often a juggling of values without the clarity of redemptive vision to see what's really most important. May your Spirit aid us and guide us as we seek to be your servants. Through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.